Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time, FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby, come on.
Y'all already know what time it is. Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. Coming to you live out of North Philadelphia. Erie Ave is the neighborhood we like to call it. EA all day. But down the way, still catch the professor providing proper tutelage and instruction. Come down, sit down here for Office Hours. So, temperature in Philadelphia here today, it's like, first of all, it's been pretty muggy. The weather is out of control all over the country, right? So, we're here reporting live at Fet Life Station. We'll get to the weather in a second. As we encroach on the top of the hour. And you already know we're broadcasting live on Fet Life Station. FetLifeStation.com. And yeah, like I said, the weather's kind of wild. It's currently 83 degrees right now in your city of brotherly love. However, we have been like, it's just been massively hot lately, right? And the air quality has been massively poor. So for those of you who have some lung ailments, breathing ailments, you might want to take it easy. And make sure that you're checking on folks. I think I woke up 2 times this week. It's hacking because of, you know, the poor air quality. We're still dealing with that Canadian fire that's out of control. Meanwhile, up in New Hampshire, they're dealing with floods. Like, literally, people are utilizing lifeboats and canoes to get around. So check on y'all folk up in the New England area of the country. And then we have this thing, we're experiencing this thing right now called a heat dome. But I guess this is one of the responses to global warming as it's been presented, or climate change as they call it now, in which it's been massive, like the degree, like temperature has been out of control. In Texas, parts of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, they're experiencing record high temperatures, averaging about 110 degrees a day. Now, it's different because they got that dry heat down here. Up here in the Northeast, we have to tackle that humidity. So even though the temperatures have been in the 90s for the majority of the week, we've still been struggling a little bit. Because that humidity makes it like 20 degrees hotter and a lot harder to breathe. So check on y'all folk, man. Check on y'all people. But yo, I'm laughing, right? Because there was something I meant to mention last week that happened that was so funny to me. We always talk about how you got to be careful coming down the way because it's drug infested and, you know, be careful in certain neighborhoods. Philadelphia is known for Kensington and Allegheny or Kensington Beach. How about they found some cocaine in the West Wing of the White House last, what was it, 2 weeks ago? And the press secretary, his assistant, and you could tell that she was like, she did not want to have to address that bullshit. She was just sitting there trying to, you know, answer questions. They're like, where do you think it came from? Who do you think had it? And, well, you know, the Secret Services investigating, and, you know, it's a lot of traffic in the West Wing, so you never know who came in there. Like, yeah, but you need, you know, you need to pass certain criteria to get to the West Bank. My question is, where was Hunter Biden at this week? was Hunter Biden in the West Wing of the White House hanging out? He's always in top. That was hilarious to me. Which would probably make a lot of sense, considering that, you know, you got like 16 videos of Joe Biden just falling out and tripping over himself and falling into the bleachers. I think he rode his bike into a pole one time. Shit, maybe Joe was just taking his meds. Anyway, so a lot is going on this week. A lot of things have happened over the last week and a half, and specifically over the last week. And I really want to get into a few things. One of these things that happened is, there was finally a hearing in Tulsa, in Oklahoma. And in this particular hearing, you had the survivors of the Tulsa race massacre. And they were in court suing for reparations. So I want y'all to hear what happened. Just this past week in regards to that hearing, what the judge did in regards to the hearing for reparations.
This look like to you?
Well, everything is beautiful and rebuilt and restored. And, you know, we just think it's just time now that we have justice on all of that, where we can live all our life, that type of life over again as a grown up.
For 109-year-old Viola Fletcher and the two other known survivors of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, the wait for that justice will drag on. That's because an Oklahoma judge threw out their years-long legal efforts seeking reparations and rebuilding to address the historical damage done 102 years ago by the race massacre that destroyed Black Wall Street. Judge Caroline Wall sided with the state and city of Tulsa, who argued, in part, that being connected to a historical event doesn't give a person unlimited rights to seek compensation. And joining me now is DeMario Solomon Simmons, civil rights attorney and founder of Justice for Greenwood. DeMario, it is great to see you. I have to say, the argument that people have normally made against reparations is, well, the victims of enslavement or some other wrong are long dead. We can't compensate people who are alive because the victims are dead. But now you have a case where the victims are alive. There are three people who are alive, and they're still saying we still can't have reparations. Make that make sense, because it seems like a heads you lose, tails I win.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a moving of the goalposts when it comes to Black people and our racial justice claims. And you're right, Joy. 109 years old. Mother Fletcher was 7 years old at the time. Mother Randall, 108, she was 6 years old at the time. They saw, they felt, they heard, and they witnessed and experienced the race massacre. They're still here And that's the thing that this case is so important nationally, because we have the photos, we have the video, we have the hundreds of insurance claims. We have living people who are saying this happened to me. And no one is disputing that this happened to them. Yet the city of Tulsa, the county, the chamber, and the state are saying, we don't care that this happened to you. We're not going to do anything for you, your families, or the community.
So, and that was coming from MSNBC, the Joy Reid show. And that was the attorney. I forget the brother's name, but he was also representative of that sister, Carlisha Hood, up in Chicago. You know, the sister that was viciously attacked by that brother in the fast food takeout store recently. And her son, you know, ended up killing the man in the parking lot. So one of the things that I really want to talk about in regards to this is just another example of needing to be a people in power. When you get reparations isn't about, it's not a simple loss. Reparations are designed to repair a people who are damaged by an injustice. And what we have going on here is a blatant disregard for justice. And we all know why. And the hope was that this would be a post-mortem trial. I mean, you hear the ages of the survivors, 108, 107, and 106 years old. The Tulsa Race Massacre, I want to keep saying it, massacre, occurred 102 years ago. They were not expecting these elders to still be here. And that's why they're pushing this through legislation right now. That's why they're going to push this through the appellate courts. And typically what happens with an appellate court is the state or whomever is the defendant, their hope is that their process, their litigation, outlast your resources to continue to pursue the case. So we're going to have to keep an eye on that. And this fight is going to have to be fought by not just the survivors, but also the descendants of the survivors. Because just like you get Jewish Holocaust survivors and their descendants, they still get reparations to this day. You just saw a reparations package created in the year 2020. The anti-Asian hate bill, that was a reparations package because supposedly the Asian community has suffered harm, has suffered damage due to the fact that they were being allegedly ostracized for being responsible for the spread of the coronavirus. That was a reparations package to help give financial aid and support to the businesses that weren't being that were being damaged, allegedly. I'm saying allegedly because I don't know for sure. For the different laws and policies that were put in place, making it a hate crime, creating a protected class of people. These are all things that go into reparations. It's not just financial. Financial part is very important, however. And we need to pay attention to this because right now you have a reparations task force taking place in California right now where they have deemed that Black people in the state of California who were direct descendants of Black people who were in bondage, who also were part of the slave trade, or were here through the Jim Crow era, which is when the bombing took place in Tulsa and several other important Black districts in the country. They have already stated that they've identified that there are damages that need to be rewarded. But we'll see. But this is why I say, you know, beggars can't be choosers. You have to have a place of power. And this is why I always preach about the need for Black nationalism. Because if you function and operate as a nation, then you provide leverage for whatever your cause is. And that's something that we struggle with because we're so divided right now as a people. Not only through genders, as we know before, but, you know, we have religious divisions in our community. We have a lot of tribal beefs and warfare just from different sectors of the country. I mean, forget about the street gangs for a second. We got gangs in every level of Black society that are warring against each other. People who don't identify as Black, people who don't identify as this, don't identify as that. Oh, we're all over the place with this. And we don't want to come together on a common front, united front, for causes that are greater than any one, some part of the whole. So until we get our shit together, we can expect more situations like this because there is no real consequence for them denying us justice. What are we going to do? Take it to the streets? The cats that take to the streets, most of them are bought and paid for by our opposition. So there's a need for power, a need to build power, a need to network, a need to get on the same page, a need to set aside issues and differences. But in order to do that, we have to address the issues and differences. And a lot of us don't want to acknowledge the Cold War, the Cold Civil War that's taking place within our community. It has various different sides. It's like feudal warfare right now going on in the Black community, if we're going to be honest about it. And so we have to take accountability. And let me tell you about one of the ways that I took accountability. So it's not just taking accountability. I take accountability every day. Trust and believe. But we have, I did a Facebook post recently. And in this particular Facebook post, I basically told the brothers, I said, you know, fellas, when it comes to the behaviors and the antics of some of our women, you know, we have to account for the role we play. In fact, you know what? I will read to you what I said. Fellas, these women are right about one thing. Y'all will still endorse ratchetness, and for that, for the I'll smash it and ghost them crowd, that still validates the ratchet behavior. If you don't have the discipline to go cold turkey on that cat and only deal with women who have class, respect, ethics, and integrity, then it's over. You cannot depend on women to self-correct, because even the older ones who know better don't seem to be incentivized to issue corrective criticism. That post, just from my page, got shared 45 times since last night. And not shockingly, by brothers, mostly men. If I had to count, I'd say 35 to 10. But in addition to being shared from my page, it was also reshared a multitude of times, practically going viral, on the people who shared it from my page. Now, that's men holding men accountable in our community. So seeing a response in some of the comments that came on that post, I thought it was only right to be fair and balanced. So I did another post 4 hours later. And it goes like this. Ladies, the brothers are right about one thing. Many of you overlook respectful, decent, responsible men who can find their birth certificates for fuckboys who you're willing to share with other women therefore incentivizing them by giving them access to your woes, rewarding them with children. Men cannot stop bums from being bums as long as you continue to promote slower culture, racking up body counts shamelessly while telling the real men that they have to accept less than they deserve while you're gift wrapping your vagina to bums. Your resume is the best predictor of your future. You all love when I held the men accountable. Keep that same energy. And as you can imagine, it was only shared one time, and that was to a private group. You see, when we're talking about this whole concept of accountability, and this is why men have put it up, I want to say something else too. There was an agenda war for the last 40 years in the black community. There was just an onslaught of insults, guilty, and shaming black men into one big ass cluster of ancient niggas. And for 37 years, black men have been in the dark, black men have been in the closet, black men have been in the at the water cooler, the barbershops, the pool halls, having these conversations about how they feel about the level of disdain and misandry that we are dealing with within the black community. And for those of you who don't know what misandry is, misandry is anti-male hatred. And we've been receiving a strong dose. Which brings us to one of the topics of the day. Everybody has weighed in on what happened when Kiki went to go see Usher in Las Vegas. Now, for those of you who don't know, Usher has been doing this Las Vegas show now for the past few months. And one of the things that has become, you know, synonymous, Usher's a ladies' man. Usher probably is right now the king of pop music, king of R&B, for all intended purposes, right now. He's outlasted everybody. R. Kelly is in jail right now and will probably be there for a few more decades. Chris Brown can't stop getting into trouble. So, Keith Sweat is an OG, but now you got Usher. And Usher's not without scandal. But Usher was able to outlast the scandal. Played his role. So now Usher is back and, you know, Usher's doing his thing. Usher has this thing where he goes to the crowd. And when he goes to the crowd, he typically picks a woman. And he croons. He serenades her. But in the process of serenading her, Usher gets a little freaky. He gets up close to person. So, while Usher was at the show, well, Usher's show, Kiki Palmer had a girls' night out. And many of you don't know, or many of you do know by now, Kiki Palmer was in a relationship with a brother by the name of Darius Jackson. Darius Jackson's a fitness trainer. And I believe his brother was one of the minor actors. He had a minor role on the hit television series Insecure. So I'm pretty sure through that connection, you know, Hollywood is like 6 degrees of separation. I'm pretty sure that that's how the connection was made between Darius and Kiki Palmer. And apparently they have been together for over a year. And then they had a baby. And the irony about it is Kiki Palmer had she was on, I believe it was Saturday Night Live, where she revealed that she was pregnant and she showed her belly, her bare belly. But prior to that, nobody knew that she was pregnant, and nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew who the father was. The story was all about Kiki Palmer becoming a mother, celebrating, walk stepping into motherhood. So it later, once she had the child, it later came out that this is the, you know, this is who she's with. She's with, you know, Darius Jackson. And he was kind of nondescript. He didn't really say much, stay in the background. But they did follow each other on like Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff. So flash forward. So apparently Kiki, this baby, brought upon some new curves. And just to be clear, Kiki Palmer was always the cute chick. Like, you know, she was cute. But Kiki Palmer wasn't ever really turning no heads. Nobody turned their head for Kiki Palmer. And then she had the issue with all the, you know, the acne on her face. And she's always had issues with the hair, the face. I mean, not the hair, but issues with, you know, her skin. And she was always self-conscious about that. So now that she had this figure, and I guess, I don't know, you know, the brother took some pictures of her and she was twerking on his pictures and stuff like that. That's going to come up because, you know, for the point we're about to make in a few minutes. One of the things that happened was Kiki was she was a little extra with Usher. There's no way to get around this. No way to dance around this. Kiki was Usher. She was extra with Usher. She got up. It's just like a part of the stage where you can go up to the front. So you're not necessarily on the stage, but it was one of those limited access places that she ended up at. And she was wearing this particular outfit that had her cheeks on full display. This looked like butter baked biscuits coming out the oven. And Usher saw what was going on. She had a picture where she turned the cheeks to Usher. You can see Usher blazing cheeks visually. And she was kikiing about it. And in the process of her kikiing about it, later, Usher would come down and personally serenade her, which is part of the things he does in the show. He gives women the mic, and they serenade them. In the process of the serenade, they did a little bumping and grinding. I was just recently made aware of this because I wasn't looking. Keep it a jig, keep it a bing. But I watched a sister by the name of Danica Marie. And she spoke to the fact that Usher seemed to be aroused during this part of the show as they were bumping and grinding. So Kiki also did this pirouette when she turned around and she displayed the cheeks to Usher one more time. Now, apparently this got out. I don't know how, but if I had to guess, somebody probably called Darius and was like, yo, my man, what's good with you? Did you see what your girl, do you know what your girl was doing tonight? So then the brother responded with a tweet stating that as a mother of his child, she shouldn't have, as a person, the mother, she shouldn't have been out public dressed like that. It was disrespectful to the relationship, blah, blah, blah. For which he received instant feedback. And in the instant feedback that he received, he then responded by saying, I think it's crazy that in this day and time and the man has standards for his family, the wife of, and the mother of his child, that he's called a hater and insecure. So I want to talk about that last part. Because, see, there's been a lot of catchwords to disarm black men over the last decade or so. And the biggest one has been, you're insecure. The phrase is who hurts you. But being insecure is like the catch-all phrase. That's like in the holster. It's already changing. And, you know, now I'm not going to say in terms of how he responded because the disrespect was public. His response was public. But I will say is, no matter how he responded, he would have been critiqued either way. So the biggest part about this wasn't necessarily the issue between Kiki Palmer and Darius Jackson, because she doubled down. She doubled down with two different tweets. The one tweet she doubled down with, the first time she said, you know, I'm out here having a good time with the King of Pop. We out here playing spades. I wonder what he's doing now. Yeah, that's way too extra, Kiki. Because, you know, and then she stated the next day that she doesn't agree. Well, I don't know if she stated it, but it was supposedly, you know how they, these people leak their thoughts and then make it out to the press. Kind of like Jada Pinkett Smith does. So, she didn't state that she doesn't believe in titles, and until she's married, she's single. Ladies, y'all don't want to play that game. You really don't. You see, that's the lack of foresight and maturity speaking. You don't want to play that game. Because although you have more sexual access, that's not the type of situation you want to play in, because men and women don't emote the same. That's like walking to a house and somebody done left the stove on, you going to the kitchen and decide to light a cigarette. I don't think you want to play that game. But here's another part to that. Why is it that she was out here, and this is why men have a big problem with these girlfriends, and especially a bunch of single friends when you're in a committed relationship, for which apparently these two were. Did you notice all of her girlfriends cheering her on? Now, Not one girlfriend pulled her to the side and said, yo, this might feel good right now, but this is not going to end well. Not one. That's going to be an interesting dilemma the next time those ladies come around the house. And this is why a lot of times guys say, you know, the fastest way for a single woman to become for a married woman or a committed woman to become single is to have single girlfriends. So, but the biggest issue with all of this was the response by the community. The brother Darius was slammed for being a beta male. He was slammed for being insecure. He was slammed because apparently he's not a breadwinner. And he was also slammed because apparently, and this is something I just learned, if you're in a committed relationship, you don't deserve husband privileges until you get married. Ladies, this is also another game you don't want to play. We already saw how just a woman on the street and a hot dog stand got mollywopped. And the group of men that were in the store gracefully walked out the store. See, that's that extra, that's that added layer of protection that most women assume is still there. Not being able to read the room. Not understanding. You see, because when you start saying stuff like you don't deserve husband privileges, then the table can get flipped to say you don't deserve my protection that a husband will provide. Oh, no. And I've seen the responses from the ladies. Well, you're talking about apples and oranges. One is a universal expectation. We are entitled to your protection no matter how we reciprocate, or even if we don't. I did a Facebook post just last week asking brothers, how does it feel? Or how does it feel when our women don't smile at us or say thank you when we open the door for them? I had women coming to that post literally saying, keep in mind this was for the fellas, but women, you know, I mean, as we talked about the million man march, there's no space a black man can occupy that a black man has that a black woman can't occupy. Excuse me. And one sister said, why don't you just do it because you're a man? And this whole idea of every aspect of our relationships becoming transactional. Right? Darius isn't a real man because he doesn't make as much money as Kiki Palmer. But the brother makes between half of anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million a year at training. He's like a celebrity trainer. But he's still seen as scrub compared to who he's with. Gabrielle Union recently came out in an interview where she said, if I make more money than my man, I deserve the right to cheat on him. At what point do our conscious sisters step in and address this madness that's going on in the sisterhood? I am getting sick and tired of hearing women say, there's nothing we can do, they won't listen to us. But I think there's a different reason as to why most women don't jump in on this part. And that came out during this Kiki Palmer situation. Because the question has been posed all over social media asking women, if you had an outfit similar to Kiki Palmer's, and you're about to go out of the house, and your man, be it your husband or your significant other, said he didn't agree or he didn't want you to go out in that outfit, he wanted you to change that outfit, what would you do? Overwhelmingly, Black women from all demographics, whether or not she was in the boardroom, whether or not she was an author, whether or not she was a movie producer, whether or not she was the president or the CEO of a company, whether or not she was working at Walmart, whether or not she was taking your order at Burger King, whether or not she was just getting off her shift working the streets. The answer was the same. A man doesn't have any rights over a woman's body. And I think that's very interesting. There was a few women that pushed back and said, no, my husband, my man, is worth more than a freaky night out with Usher. In addition to that, even the women that said they would not do it stated that they still believe that women had the right to make that choice on their own. Regardless of who was the breadwinner, regardless of who was, what position they held, whether they were married, whether they were engaged, whether they were in a committed relationship for years, that men, Black men in particular, did not have the right to demand that she dressed in a different fashion or have the right to get upset if she started bumping grinding with an R&B singer as he was serenading her at his shop. I find this to be very rich. Because we seem to have this thing where we consistently move the goalpost when it comes to the accountability and the behavior of women in our community. And this is why it's called a gender war now, because as of now, men are actually speaking back. It wasn't a gender war before, and it hasn't been a gender war even to this day. I saw about 5 or 6 posts demeaning Black men just on my Facebook feed. But it's so normalized, it's so the dysfunction of living in a patriarchal society. Like even, so it wasn't just the women. There were also the beta male peacocks, which is probably worse than all the women, because these are the type of men that like to present themselves as alpha because they peacock. Oh, he's insecure. He's not a real man. I hate to break the news to a lot of you brothers. A lot of y'all have never met a real man. And although you make the money, although you do all sorts of things, many of you don't even have the qualities of a real man. Many of you are petty. Many of you are immature. Many of you are still in your adolescence. Many of you are still struggling with arrested development. That's why you're out here caping. You're out here thotting it up, supporting thot culture. You're one of the biggest disparities to our community. You simps are one of the reasons that women in our community still have a lack of respect for Black men as is. You got to be the loudest Negro in the room. You got to try to suffocate and suck all the air out the room and all the oxygen out the room. And the crazy thing is, when a real man walks into the room, you're the one that feels intimidated, more intimidated than anybody else. And therefore, you get louder, more obnoxious. All eyes on me, but nigga, you ain't Tupac. So I want to talk about what alpha males are, because that was like the push lick. As you know, and we hear it all the time, black men, you don't deserve, you know, this treatment. And the disdain we feel from our women is exacerbated. Let me let y'all hear something real quick. You know, we're running a bit on time. I want y'all to hear something real quick. This was, you know, because y'all have my man out there, you know, my man Darius. Shout out to Darius. Shout out to my man Darius out there on some. What more do you want from me? Y'all have my man Darius looking bad. So I'm gonna play this real quick, right? And this is this off the, you know, our good brother, O'Shea Duke Jackson. This off his channel. Shout out to O'Shea. Anybody familiar with the Fresh and Fit show ran by a couple of coon-ass dudes down in Miami? So they do a lot of coon shit. Now, when I mean coon shit, like, they literally put, like, coons on from the Ku Klux Klan and mock, you know, the Jim Crow era, and they mock black people. But they always have a podcasting room full of black and other races of women, but primarily black women. I want y'all to hear what happened when this one sister was on there when there's no racist, right? I'm gonna just let it play out. This dude I'm talking about, Nick Fuentes, is a known proud white supremacist. So I'm gonna let this play. Hold tight.
GLODYIAN
And hold on, y'all. I don't want her name to be out there. So. This is what she did. Hold on.
Her life. And she seems like, again, like she didn't know who he was, or according to her, and that she felt that, you know, she was coming on the show. She had no idea that Nick Fuentes was coming on the show. But let me play what she had to say, and then I'm going to come back.
So Big Life is addressing the photo that I took with Nick. This would be my third time on the show, and the first two times, it was about relationships. You get what I'm saying? Men versus women, I'll say that. That's what my mind was on. That's what I was prepared for. I was prepared to go in and, you know, defend myself as a woman, because that's usually what you have to do.
Now, let me call this bullshit out now. And I just wanted you to hear her voice. This is a black woman identifies as a strong pro-black. I don't know what the hell a pro-black is, but she identifies as being part of the pro-black community. Now, in addition to that, her and a group of other women on the show were hugged up, kissing this racist white supremacist. They were twerking with him, and they even encouraged him to say the N-word. And if you don't believe me, listen to this part. Can't get the damn thing playing. Both that, y'all. All right.
This is a clip where they're saying, hey, do you want to say the N-word, and she's gonna say, yes, say it. Let's play that clip.
Hey, what's that?
You want me to say it?
Yes.
And then I say it.
Come on, man, what you got?
That's right. She was the one. Come on, Nick, what you got? This is the pro-black sister in the room. And see, this is why brothers have so many issues. As I said before, I had a post up about why don't black women smile at black men? Why don't black women, why can't you just say thank you for us opening doors and things of that nature? And it was hit with such disdain. It was hit with such, so many reasons. Oh, black men are this, black men are predators, innocent. I understand that some of you may have had some rough experiences. I do. I'm not even discounting it. But this guy's a no white supremacist. Like skinhead, hell, Hitler, white supremacist. And you see the joy? Do you see the smile? Do you see the openness? Do you see the warmth that they're offering this no white supremacist? See, this speaks to the disdain that we recognize that takes place in our community. See, we understand that our sisters, our women, have been taught and raised for generations to have disdain for black men because we're not white men. And although people can deny it all they want, ask any brother who's seen this dynamic break down. Ask him how does he feel about that. And the words we'll get from our women, oh, you're just mad because you can't compete with the white man. I've heard that from several sisters who identify as Pan-African and black nationals. Several. And I'm saying several. I'm talking. And they're the vitriol. I support black men. I love black men. But then you go to their social media, they're always talking about how black men disrespect black women. Black men take advantage of black women. As if to say that all men on the planet don't have issues within their particular communities with their women. No, it's specifically black men. Even though when you look and you talk to women of other communities, they're choosing black men because they say black men are the most compassionate men of all other groups. So they choose white men because white men are the men in power seen as the proverbial global power. But the second most requested men on the planet are black men. So then we get to the conversation. Well, what's an alpha? Well, y'all just, you know, y'all just ain't alpha like white men. Y'all just not alpha. And then we start talking about what an alpha is. And for most women, and we have this conversation, because brothers don't even know what the fuck an alpha is either. Because the majority of us has never truly sat in a room with an alpha. So let me break down what an alpha is. Just so, you know, we can have that part of the you know, we can just get that part out of the way. So, according to a site I got to on Google, and all of them have different things, is what is an alpha male? An alpha male is when a man who is highly intelligent, confident, and successful. Alpha males are generally considered great leaders and prefer to be in positions of power. So I say that to say, the majority of people have never met an alpha. And I promise you, ladies, alphas, you know, I need an alpha male. You can handle an alpha male. Because alpha males are borderline sociopaths. They don't really care about you. Kevin Samuels used to say things that would piss women off all the time. Kevin Samuels would say, a man should never be committed to his woman. A woman should never be the most important thing to a man. A man should be committed to his purpose. And women called him a narcissist. No, Kevin Samuels was an alpha. Kevin Samuels was an alpha. But I'm going to tell y'all some other alphas, too. Because Kevin Samuels was a, you know, fairly good-looking brother. Carried himself in such a way, always wear nice clothes, suits, and things of that nature. So a lot of sisters, even though they didn't like Kevin Samuels, they were attracted to Kevin Samuels. Let me tell y'all about an alpha that y'all not attracted to. Because y'all associate alphas with whatever makes your personal part tingle. Would you consider Donald Trump? Donald Trump is an alpha. Yeah, Donald Trump. Trump's school of business. Where he scammed all these motherfuckers out of their money and didn't give a damn about paying any of it back. That's an alpha. How many of y'all have wet dreams about Donald Trump? What about Mark Zuckerberg? Mark, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and when I was talking about Mark Zuckerberg being an alpha, but the women don't want to sleep with him. And it was this elder white woman that was walking past me. She worked in the supermarket. She bust out laughing. Couldn't stop laughing. She said, I don't ever think I would fuck Mark Zuckerberg. But she said, but you're right, though. He is an alpha. You see, women from other communities recognize alphas. Not just some hood nigga from the street. That's not an alpha. That man is serving somebody. Not just, you know, basketball players, no. There's one in particular I can think of, and I'll give you him. Michael Jordan is an alpha. Michael Jordan is an alpha male. That's why he was able to, even though he wasn't the coach, he was the leader of every basketball team he was on. And then he went on to do other things in society. Michael Jordan, by many accounts, is an asshole. Most people don't like Michael Jordan in person. But most people don't like alphas. Here's one. William Gates. I'm sorry, y'all know me. Bill Gates. Bill Gates is probably one of the most alpha men on the planet. While he was married to Melinda Gates, was it Melinda? I don't know. He had a study, he had an arrangement that his side chick would have for him. He would get to spend a week a year with his side chick. That shit went off the entirety of their marriage. And everybody looked at Bill Gates. They all people often refer to him as being autistic. No. That's what a damn alpha male looks like. Like they don't have a grip with humanity. So these cats, these so-called ballers, they ain't alpha. Because alphas don't give a damn about their women. Skip Bayless is an alpha. You know the guy that used to have Shannon Sharp crying every 2 weeks? Skip Bayless, he's an alpha. When he met his wife, he told his wife, listen, if you're going to be with me, you got to understand a few things. One, nothing comes before my purpose, which is this career here that I got going on. Nothing comes before that. Two, I'm not giving you any children. So if you want children, this better be our last time together because you're going to have to find somebody else to have children. Three, you're probably not going to see me a lot because I'm going to be busy doing all this because this means more to me than you. And they've been happily married ever since. You see, this whole concept in our community about being who we're going to respect and how we're going to respect them, it lets the rest of the world know, one, they don't have to worry about competing against us on any level. Because one thing for sure, two things for certain. Any community in this world, any race in this world that's led by their women are not seen as true communities, not seen as true nations anywhere in the world. They're seen as places that we can easily conquer, places that we can easily invade. We can take their women and make their women work for us. If you truly understood how white supremacy functioned and operated, then you would understand how that works. Let me see if I can find this other clip real quick. There's a good brother of mine had put this clip up and on his page and tagged me in it. And I want to play it because it was a message. I'm just seeing if I can find it real quick, and I'm trying to zip through this. But it was a message from a sister from the Nation of Islam about women and the role they play in the system of white supremacy. Black women and the role they play in the system of white supremacy. So just give me a second. It'll only take a second. All right, it'll only take a second. And I want y'all to hear what she had to say. Because this particular clip is important. Nobody's passing. He put so much stuff on his page. I love it. Don't you like my music? My nephew makes this music. My nephew, as he's identified on social media, Bear Beats, makes this message. Makes his music. So, damn it, I don't think I can find it. I think I might have skipped past it. Hold tight, y'all. So I want y'all to hear what she said in regards to
in regards to the circumstances in Black America these days. I think it's something that needs to be said, needs to be understood. All right. Officially, I normally have it like right here. Hold on, he has 2 pages. But I really need y'all to hear before I go off the air. So, unless I might be a minute old. Here we go. All right, hold tight, here we go.
So you hear your woman say, I'm wrong to be the boss.
All right, hold on, y'all. Make sure.
And you. This is beating you down more. Who provides the job for Black people? The slave master. He can decide who's going to work and who's not going to work. So he's chosen the Black woman to work, but we think we have arrived. Somehow we have misinterpreted that. We think because we got the jobs and we the money, we own that. It's a false sense of power. And we stripping our power around in front of our men, making them pull back from us. And we wondering why our men are crossing over. Chinese, white woman, anything that shows femininity. This is a wicked thing that white people are doing, and we have not yet seen it in its fullness. Black women don't know that we're just being completely torn apart and broken down. So we will not have no appeal for this man. He doesn't want another man in the bedroom with him. It's wrong with Bosa. So now you're working hard. You start feeling like a man. And when you start feeling like a man, all of a sudden you don't need this man that God gave you. You worry about it and you go get a woman. They feed you for lesbianism. You never chose it. They have been grooming you for over 400 years. So that when you finally make a choice, you will choose to be the man. And you will take up with a woman. And they make you think that you made this choice on your own. Now,
with that said, family, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Office Hour. Brother Les, you can take us home, beloved. Peace and power.
Black, my arms are long, is woolly. My back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Sarah, my skin is yellow, my hair is long, between two worlds, I do belong. My father was and white, he forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sweet.